Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Reaching the World for Christ broadcast in memory of the late evangelist Lloyd Yearwood. We'll be joined by all of our regular guest ministers. Stay tuned for the next 2 hours and listen in with a multitude of listeners from around the world. And now, coming to you live from Calico Plains, Tennessee, USA, here's your host, Betty Yearwood and son Timothy Scott Dockery.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be back on Blog Talk Radio, reaching the world for Christ, in memory of evangelist Lloyd Yearwood. And I just want to say that it's good to be above the ground today, and I just thank God for everything that he's doing. He's been doing some great and mighty things, and we need to be careful and give God the praise for everything that he does. He says he inhabits the praises of his people, and I just don't feel like people are giving him all the praise that he deserves. All of us need to give him praise and give it to him more often. We want to thank God for seeing us through the storms. They wasn't as bad as what they would have been if we wouldn't have prayed. I just thank God for all the ones that prayed for the storms, and we just thank God for keeping us. And I just want to say to the ones out there that are listening for the first time, we welcome you to the broadcast and from all around the world, and we thank the ones that have been listening that are praying for the broadcast. We thank God for each and every one of you. And our subject for today is coming out of Titus 2:11 and verse 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're going to make it to heaven. We're going to have to live pure and holy and unspotted from the world. And
yes, Jesus.
I see that we have a call in here, so I'm going to get them on. I want everyone to remember my brother Bill, which is going in for heart surgery tomorrow. Just lift him up to God. And I got a cousin that's going in for total knee replacement in the morning, so just remember her also. And 205, come on in and tell who you are and where you're at.
It's Brother James Miles from Detroit, Alabama.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead and obey the Lord, and then we'll have Kim come around later.
All right. I was going to say, you know, I thank God that we've got a chance today to come and lift up the name of Jesus. That's what it's about, folks, that wonderful name of Jesus. The grace that he bought for us, the mercy he gives us, the peace and the joy he puts in our soul. Now, listen, but it tells us, you know, she read that verse about the grace of God that bringeth salvation. It's appeared to all men. So if it's appeared to all men, you got no more excuse why you turn away.
Amen.
That grace, that salvation, that mercy, the peace and the joy he can bring into your life is... it's unspeakable the difference it makes inside you, how you feel, how you look at life, how you love your family, your friends, your neighbors. It makes all the difference when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And tonight I urge you,
yes,
no matter what I say or how good you think I do or I don't do, but don't listen to me, listen to the words of the Bible tonight, because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
It's about the Word of God guiding us, leading us, and taking us into a way that we can make it home one day. Because, you know, we live down here, and everybody says,
life is so hard, life is so miserable, and all the things we see going on, how bad a place it's getting to be. But glory to God, don't you want to escape that someday? Don't you want to go to a place where there's nothing going on? You can't get there but by Jesus. You can't get there but by the salvation that's already appeared unto you. You might turn him down or put him off. I plan on him. Well, don't plan, do. He says it's not hearers of the word that's justified, but doers of the word. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm thinking tonight and asking to be with all the sick and afflicted that's around this country, around this world, to be with them in Ukraine and places where they're being slaughtered. You know,
yes.
We don't have it bad. We can look around. You think you got it rough, look around and you'll find somebody worse off. I've learned that. But I guarantee you, if you find escape, it's going to be through Jesus. If you find help, it's going to be through them. If you find healing
Amen.
For your sickness, it's going to be through God. Glory to God. See, that's the grace of
yeah.
God, folks. Hallelujah. It ain't nothing that I was worthy of. I come to him just a rank sinner, and I'm talking about a bad sinner. I was an Alabama heathen running these roads and ripping and going and doing, and one day it hit me that I was lacking something. My life was going to pieces, and I got out in the woods up here reading the Bible, got down and asked Jesus to come in my life. And people, they such joy when you find Jesus and he comes inside you. Glory to God. It's unspeakable joy. The Bible calls it unspeakable joy and full of glory. Well, ain't my glory, it's his. And tonight I'm telling you, that salvation has appeared to you before. It says all men, women, boys, girls, they all know about the salvation of Jesus. And some of them just flat turn it away. Some of them say, I'm going to. Some of them say, I'm planning on it. Oh, he said, the best laid plans are passing men. You remember that old saying? That most time they come to naught. But if you go by the plan that Jesus give us, that plan of salvation, glory to God, you
yeah.
can find something that this world is longing for. You think about it. They're on the streets just killing each other, beating people up for no reason, just walking down the street. That's nothing to do with God. That's Satan having his way in a world where people have put God to the side and won't lift him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When he was lifted up on that cross, that was supposed to be to draw all of us to him. And it seems like today that they're just a little too caught up in the world. They can't turn loose, glory to God, long enough. They know about the salvation of God, and it just can't let go of the world enough to get a hold of Jesus. And if they ever do get a hold of Jesus, they don't want to let go of him, afraid they get back in the world. Glory. Because that's who Jesus is, and that's what he does. Praise God. But it goes on that second verse, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Do you know how to live
yes.
godly? Praise God. Well, then why would you call yourself a Christian if you don't know what living godly is about? Don't lie no more.
No.
And holler, I'm a Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like. Ha! Glory.
Amen.
If we're going to be like Jesus, glory to God, people ought to be able to see him in our lives. They ought to see us following the word in what we do and how we talk, how we walk, glory to God. They ought to see us being a Christian. They ought to see us a glorified God when we go to church, lifting up them hands, glory to God, strengthening feeble knees, that we can get up and praise God. We don't have to just sit in the seat, but we can get up and do something of the great salvation that Jesus gave to us. Get up and praise God. Lift up his name. Thank him for his goodness, his mercy, and that grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God. What we didn't deserve, grace covered. What we didn't deserve was mercy for being a sinner. But glory to God, that
Amen.
Was his plan for you. That's his plan for each one of us, is to come into the salvation, come into the arms of Jesus
yes.
and live there and be like him. Glory to God. Hey, glory. He died partly my fault. because I was a sinner and there wasn't no other way out. He didn't have no other way of purchasing my freedom from sin till he died on that old cross. I thought about watching that. I watched that show, you know, The Passion of the Christ, and saw on that screen everything he did to it. I was one of them that left the theater a crying and blubbering and all that, because thinking, you did that for me. You did that because of me. But my friend, let me tell you this today. Sure as I'm here, he done that because of you too. He done it because he loved you.
Yes.
He done it because he couldn't stand the thought of you being in a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, tormented forever and ever. He wanted you to be in his kingdom where you don't have to worry about anything else except enjoying the pleasures of the Lord. Praise God. But to that godly part, you don't know. I thought about what's that like. I have not always done that. I've not always been the best at that. Because to live godly is to constantly trying to be more like Jesus and less like me. And I've
Amen.
Got to look in the mirror. I look in the mirror, and they sure ain't nothing there to tickle me to death when I look in the mirror anymore. Oh, white hair and all this stuff where I'm getting old. White mustache nearly. But praise God, there's something inside me that'll put out an image. Hallelujah, God. That'll put out the image of Jesus. That'll put out the words of God. That puts out the sanctification of God. Glory to God. It shows people there's a better way. There's a happier way. There's a joyful way. There's peace in knowing Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Whatever goes on around me, I don't have to take part in it. I'm in part of something bigger and greater and grander than
yes.
anything this world has to offer. I'm part of the family of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory. Right now to that, we all need to be in the family of God to come together in the unity of the Spirit of God that we can say to the world, I am a Christian. I'm Christ-like. You hear me? I'm Christ-like tonight. I'm
yeah.
not like me.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Like I would. I'm like what I'm going to be one day because it's that glory that we would come on under the fullness and the stature of Jesus. Glory to God. I can't wait, folks. Glory to God. The Bible said, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we know we're going to be like him. Think about
it. Amen.
That. We're going to be like Jesus, y'all. Glory to God. He see, he's the one I want to be like. I don't want to be like one of these big ball players. I don't want to be like a president. I don't want to be like a governor or some big king or ruler. I want to be like Jesus. He came down here
yes.
as a servant. He come down here and walked the streets in the dirt and the dust to go out and preach to people and to tell them that there is a new and a better way. It's through the mercy, the grace, and the salvation plan I have for them. Glory to God.
Amen.
He said, I didn't come there and do away with the law either. I come to fulfill the law in you. I come to fulfill
yeah.
it in you. I want to come inside you with my spirit and give you the strength that you can live godly. Before all men, that you don't have nothing to answer for when you stand before me on that judgment day. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We've got to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And glory to God, one day you're going to be there too. And we're going to stand there, and he's going to look at us, and he said he'd reward you according to the works you've done in your body, whether good
Amen.
Or evil. And glory to God, I want to be like Jesus because I know where he's at. He's sitting on the right hand of God right now making intercession for me and for you, telling God, give them just a little more time. Let them hear the word one more time. Let them be able
yes.
to read and believe in their hearts and receive me as their Savior and receive us as, glory to God, the children of the living God. Ain't it time
yes.
and now
yes.
we get off our high horse and thinking we're all that in a bag of chips. And glory to God, the only kind of chips I've had, I've had chips on my shoulder most of my life, daring people to knock them off. Well, now I got love in my heart, and I dare them to try to feel that, because glory to God, when they do, they're going to know that God's real. They're going to know that I love them because God loves them. And I can pray for people that I never would have thought I'd care one thing about. But I pray for them now in earnestly and get down and cry out to God for their souls. For the salvation plan that they know about but they've rejected. Glory to God. I want to read up and preach a little bit over here. Flip on over just a little in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, 1st chapter. And it's talking about, we got something that was given to every man, to, you know, that every man is aware and knows that salvation plan, that grace of God. Well, here's the thing, another thing is that in Romans, a measure of faith has been given to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that faith is used, that's what gets you to believe the Word of God, to trust the Word of God, to trust the salvation plan of Jesus, that you can come in and know that you're going to be all right with Him because He takes care of His own, praise God. And He says this over here, too, and I've been thinking about it a lot. He said, you know, with our faith, He said, but this, and starting in verse 5, beside this, said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And virtue, you know what the virtue of Jesus, when it come out of Him and went into the little woman with the issue of blood, and praise God, her blood was stopped just like that. She was healed and made whole by His virtue that come out of the virtue supposed to be in us also. That's that goodness. That's that cleanness. That's that holiness that's supposed to be within us, glory to God. And people, glory to Jesus. They go to church now. Somebody up gets prayed, getting up, getting prayed for, and most of them are just standing back there and do like this. Close your eyes, stick your hand out for them. They don't want to get up and lay hands on. They're afraid their virtue will come out. Well, glory to God, what do you think He gives it to you for? Where we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Where we can get up and pray for people and they can be set free. Their chains can be broken. Their life can be made whole. Amen. Praise God. We got a God that depends on us to be willing to do the things that He's called on us to do, to add these to our faith.
Amen.
Glory to God. It goes on, praise God. And He said, add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? This right here. Knowledge of the Word of God, the instructions of God that guide us into a godly life. That makes it where we can live with godliness inside us. Praise the Lord. It said, add to knowledge temperance. Glory to God. Here's one that had to have it. I had a temper so bad, you said something to me, I was ready to fight. It didn't matter who or when or where. And now that I can grin and walk off, I need to. I've had them cuss me, call me everything in the book. And I just shake my head, walk away, and tell them, God bless you. I figured that was worse than a slap in the face because it looked like it hurt them worse. We say,
yeah.
God bless you. Walk away from them. You know, that's what that patience is all about, that temperance in us, that we can do that. And we don't have to get mad anymore because we don't have to get even because the Bible said, God will recompense. He'll pay them back. If they don't repent, they have to pay for that. Praise God. Don't take it on yourself. Don't get mad. Don't get angry and want to fight. Glory to God. Pray for them. It's just, the Bible says you can so do it, the heaping coals of fire on their head. Glory to God. Because that fire will burn through it, and maybe they'll repent. And glory to God said, it add to temperance that patience I was talking about. I don't know about y'all, but I get a doctor's appointment, and if it's 11:30, at 11:31, I'm wondering what's taking so long. I'm sitting there waiting to see that doctor. I had an appointment at that time. And an hour later, maybe, I might get back there. And you get, well, why'd you make the appointment at that time? Oh, and you feel like going up and telling them all, but I got this, won't do you liquor good. They was busy. They're this, they're that, they're overbooked, whatever. They got 9 million excuses. And the best thing you can do is sit there and just pray and thank God that you've got the time to spend sitting there patiently waiting on that doctor or waiting on whatever. Glory to God, waiting on your hamburger to cook, the restaurant, whatever. But you do it patiently. And you can do it in prayer. And you can sit there and you feel something different go through you instead of that anger raises up because you're so impatient you can't sit no longer. Because when you get all that, okay, and you faith, you got something. And it said, listen to this, add to patience godliness. We've been adding godliness there. When you add godliness, you've done something then. You're really starting to get close, praise God. I thought about all that. That's exactly what we've got to do, too. And godliness is a reverence for things divine, shown by growing more and more in the divine likeness. That's getting more and more like God. More and more like Jesus. Every day. That's what that means, godliness. I want to grow to be like Jesus, y'all. I want to grow to be more like him and just to forget me and concentrate on him. And let that be in my life, that a light would shine before men and they'd say, you know, there's something different about him. I tell you what, he comes into work every day, a smile on his face. You see him in town, he's always happy. He's got something. I don't know what he's got on the rest of us, but he's got something. It's called godliness. It's called the love of God. The indwelling spirit of God that comes inside you that can make you happy when you ought to be crying. That'll get me down, praise God. I thought about today how many times since my wife passed away. Praise God, I've sat and cried. I miss her so much, you know. Getting thinking about her and the girl crying. Tell God how much I miss her and all that, you know. But I patiently wait for that day. I'm going to go where she's at. I'm going to be with her forever. It don't matter now. We'll get to hold hands, walk through the streets of glory, and get down to the throne and praise God, hallelujah, throughout all eternity. That's mine. That's what I've got. That's an inheritance that comes from godliness in your life. That's an inheritance when you add the things to your faith that God said to add, praise God. I thought about all that. It said, praise God, add to godliness brotherly kindness. And a brotherly kindness, charity, that's love of people. That brotherly kindness is when you'd rather give somebody else something than you give. You know what that? That's brotherly kindness to people. You lift their name up in prayer before you lift your own. Because you're looking for God to do something in their life, grand, glorious, amazing. Lift them up higher than they've ever been lifted. Give them more power that they, when the devil comes, they can laugh at him. Get on out of here. I got the power.
Amen.
You don't have to. I'm living godly. I'm living holy. I'm living righteously. And ain't nothing you can do to break me, big boy. And you ain't got no hold, no power, no control. Hallelujah. I give it to God. He's in charge. And glory to God, he's going to keep me until the day of salvation. I have a promise from Almighty God, and I'll stand on it and hare lift the devil every day. You are not getting this soul. It belongs to God. He inhabits me. Glory to Jesus. Do you not understand that when you come to Christ, he gives you of his spirit? Glory to God. Tells
Amen.
You, me and my Father will make our abode with you. Hallelujah. That's the reason I said you can't be a dead, dried-up Christian or you're not a Christian. When you
fall,
they think that the church is a place to sit quiet. Same seat every Sunday. Same seat every time I go. And I've got hooked up so much in I can't get out now. Till the time that final prayer is when I get up, I'm ready to go home. But praise God. And you not know that when you come to church, it's in the image of Jesus Christ. He didn't go into the temple just to be in the temple. He went and talked. He went and prayed. He lifted up the name of his Father. He said, I come to do my Father's will. We are to be doing our Savior's will. Each and every day we go to church, we need to be loud in prayer.
Yes.
Psalm said,
praise the Lord.
Come into my courts with singing, shouting thanksgiving unto God for what he's done for us. And yet they've just dried up like old grapes left on the vine too long. And it shrivel up and dry up. That's what happens when you're not living in a godly fashion. You're not living in true holiness because to be holy is to be Christ-like. He said, for I am holy, and I will be you holy. If we're going to be holy, we got to be like Jesus, don't we? That's the only
That's
way.
Right.
Because he said, there's none holy, no, not one. That's the reason he had to die. That we could take on the image of Jesus. We could take the Spirit of Christ inside us. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost that would give us the power to stand through everything this world's throwing at us. And we can still stand. Why? Because I got something greater in the world. I got something bigger in the world. I got something that's more mighty than this world. I've got Jesus. He's the one. Glory to God. He's the one. He's the spoken word of God made flesh. And when God spoke it, it just like everybody now acts like they're walking in darkness and they can't see the light. But God was
Amen.
God when he started the world too. Praise God. But what did he do? He said, let there be light. And there's the moon and the sun was put into place, the stars of heaven. Glory to God. and there was light upon the earth, and glory to God. He looked at it and saw that it was good. But guess what he told us? He said, you are the light of the world. You.
Amen.
You think, I can't light up nothing. Well, you ain't got God in you. That's why. Hey, still something that you've got between you and God has got to get out of the way where God can come in. You just say, well, I've been going to church for years, and God ain't never shouted at me like he does some of these people. Well, glory to God, get the junk out of your life. Throw it away. Become clean.
Amen.
Become holy. Become the number one in God's room. I want him to look down on me and say, Satan, have you considered my servant, James Miles? As he told it to old Satan about Job, didn't he? Have you considered my servant Job? Oh, glory to God. Upright and a righteous man. Glory to God. That's what we need to strive to be. I'm tired of being just an ordinary. I want to be an extraordinary man. I want to be one that God can be proud of. My mama and my daddy might not never be proud of me in their life. Daddy's gone. But I tell you what, I want God to be proud of me when I get there.
Amen.
I want him to say, well done. Two words, well done. Glory to God. Enter in. Glory to God. I want to hear them words. But Sister Betty, when I get there, I want him to say, well done. That good and faithful servant, you just come on in the joy of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Is that not what we're striving for? Is that not what you go to church for? Is to get closer to God. You go in order to serve God. And then when you get there, you want to sit down and not do nothing.
Come on.
Stop. Get back. Get back to where our first love is at. And that's with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's with God Almighty. We got to get back in that place where we're not ashamed to lift our hands. I've rode down the road before and had to roll the sunroof back on the car. There'd be a song on getting the spirit. I want my hand up in the air. I run it up through the roof just doing it. I guess the people behind me thought I was waving at them. But I wasn't. I was praising God. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
I'm not going to be ashamed. I got something to glorify in, and that's my Savior. Glory to God. He said this. He talked about adding those things. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, here's that but. You know, that little small word. But he that lacketh is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's what you get. Now, glory to God, I'm going to stop right there just a minute, because I've seen it through the years. They'll come into church, and they get up in that altar, and they feel that salvation of God come in their soul. They can feel that grace, that mercy take their sin dead away. And they just order like a house on fire for a little while, just running for Jesus. Praising God every time they come to church, and they get just a little quieter and a little quieter and a little quieter. And pretty soon you just get where you don't see them no more. And if they are there, you sure don't hear nothing out of them anymore. And they've lost that fire, that zeal for God, that first love. They found something to put in his place at. And something come between them and their first love. And that's like the Bible said, they were seeing it somewhere. They may be a little sin left in the camp. They ain't killed out that flesh. They ain't crucified theirself daily like old Paul had to. Glory to God. We got to kill this flesh that we can live to the Spirit. Glory to God. Now listen to this. It said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
It's the first chapter of 2 Peter. You need to get in there and read that and see if you've got the right ingredients. Glory to God. You see, you can't live godly and have the wrong ingredients in you. Because I'm going to tell you, I talked about this a while ago. I was down praying right before we started, got on here, and I was praying. He said, he told me, I'm a fruit inspector. And I'm like, what in the world, Lord, did you bring that into my mind for? And he said, I'm a fruit inspector again. And I sat there and thought about that. You know, you seek God out when he tells you something, you want to understand it. I said, Lord, you have to give me wisdom on this. I don't understand it. And he took me to chapter 15 in the book of John. And he said, I am the true vine. And my father
Amen.
Is the husband. My father's the one that takes care of the vine. He said, all them branches in me, that's you. We're the branches in that vine. And if you're not up to the vine, he said, you ain't going to live, you'll die. But he said, them branches
Amen.
Don't bear no fruit. He said, he purged them branches. Give you a little more spirit, a little more oomph in you, that they'll bear fruit. But if they won't bear no fruit then, he said he breaks them off, throws them down, they're gathered up and cast in the fire, folks. He said, I'm a fruit inspector, and I'm seeing what kind of fruit you're bringing. You go to church, he might want to see. Are you going to church to be seen of people or to use it like a fellowship hall? Or are you going there to magnify and lift up the name of Jesus, praising God, lifting up them old hands that's hanging down? Lift them up and let God know that you love him, that you thank him, that you live for him, that he's in you, that you've got something that is real and it's lasting, it's permanent, it's life-giving. Hallelujah. All the things he does that for me and you. He made a way for us and escape routes wide open, and people are running the other way. There's a big fire behind us, and they run for something else besides the escape. Glory to God. I don't understand. I tell Sister Betty, I don't understand why people run the other way when God's telling us plainly in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth,
Amen.
And the life. And no man can come to my Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And yet they run the other way as hard as they go. They run straight toward the fire, knowing the fire is going to burn them up. And they still run to the fire instead of running to the Savior. They go to church. They said they have a form of godliness. You know, they come in there, praise God. But they hadn't got a thing inside them. Only thing they got inside them is thinking what I'm going to eat when church is over. I wish they'd hurry up. I'm hungry. Or either, I can't wait to get home and watch that show that's coming on. The car race is on. I wish they'd hurry and get through. They always got something else on their mind and in their heart other than serving God with all they got. And people, godliness ain't got nothing to do with that junk. Godliness has got putting the world aside to lift up Jesus, to magnify him in your life. And glory to God, ain't it time that we get back to business? And the church is the body of Christ. And if you can't see Jesus when you go to church, friend, something's wrong in there. Something's wrong
Amen.
With people in the church. Something's dead inside them. Glory to God. Brother Yearwood, when he was alive, he used to gate. I remember it so well. He said, your wood's wet. That's when you can't catch fire when you come to church. Now, their wood ain't wet. They throw the wood out where they could put something else in them. That's what happened. And glory to God. He said, the Bible tells us in Matthew 3:11, when old John the Baptist was talking about, he said, I truly baptize with water under repentance. But he that's coming after me, he's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Friend, if ain't no fire built up in you, and it's not burning in you, it's because something else is in there besides what it needs to burn. Glory to God.
Yeah.
The fire of God. Even glory to God. Jeremiah said, there's a fire shut up in my bones. He said, I'm not going to prophesy. I'm not going to tell them what God said no more. He said, but I can't keep quiet. There's a fire shut up in me. And it just burns up. So I've got to speak what God said. I've got to tell them what the Lord said. So saying the Lord, where he's telling you tonight, glory to God. If you're not on fire for him, it's because your fire is burning for something else.
Amen.
And they say, I don't like to hear you preach. People, it's not me. I guarantee you, I never wrote one word in this Bible. But I guarantee you every word of it's true. Everything in there is
Amen.
For a reason. It's wrote exactly like it's wrote for a reason. And it's to give you a roadmap to get your soul to Jesus and to get your soul into the kingdom of God. Praise
yes.
the
Lord. Yes, amen.
This comes out of Luke 6. And this right here, I thought about this. It start verse 39 and 40 out of this. Let's read a couple of verses. It said, he spake a parable, Jesus did unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Y'all wonder why I'm preaching on godliness? I've got to be like Jesus. Or either I'm a blind person trying to lead blind people how to find their way to Jesus, and I don't even know the way myself. Glory to God. I got to be like Jesus to start with before I can speak about Jesus. Glory. Before I can testify about Jesus. Before I can show you Jesus. Before I can get down and you might see the fire of God overtake me. Glory to God. That's what it's about, friend. I got to be like my master. I don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like my daddy or my mama or my sisters or my uncles or aunts or cousins or no one else in this world. I want to be like Jesus because that's the only thing that will allow me to live a godly life before him. And like I said before, you're going to stand before him. Oh, you don't like that, do you? Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 10, reads itself. It says we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that hears this, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One day, you can't get away from it. There's no escaping. And you're going to stand there. And whatsoever you've done in your body, that's what you're going to be paid for. And I thought about, I know people at work before, that I thought about if they paid them what they worth, they couldn't live on it. I know you have to. You've seen people on the job that are just so sorry. They wouldn't hardly do nothing. They come in late about every other day, all that kind of stuff. Always taking off and missing time or 2 months, all that kind of stuff. And you think, boy, they ain't worth nothing. They won't hardly work. They won't hardly do nothing. And pray you got other people are just going constantly trying to get the job done. You know why they do that? They followed what the master said in here. He said, do all things heartily as unto the Lord. When we work for somebody, for hire, we're supposed to do it with all our heart, just like we serve God. We get in there and we do our very best to do it right and to get as much of it out as we can, because it ain't nothing about production work. It ain't nothing about pleasing the boss. It's about pleasing the Father, the Heavenly Father, by pleasing His Son, by being like Him. He come down here and He didn't argue with God and say, but I don't want to go to that cross. Is there not some other way to do this? He come and said, I come to do your will. He prayed in the garden. Said till his sweat just became his great drops of blood. He prayed so hard and so earnestly. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he'd always end his prayer the same way. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Friend, that's what I want for me. That's what I want for my children. I love my kids. And I want them to come in and feel what Daddy feels. I want them to have some joy that they just hear, but it's going to carry me on through eternity. And glory to God, ain't but one way to get there. That's to live godly. That's to live like Jesus. That's to be like my master, right? Because, glory to God, let me read that again. It says plainly that the disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And I got news for you, friend. I got news for you. Boy, y'all ain't going to like this one. But just, if you out here, you living in this world, you've never known God, you just running your own life, you living it my way. I'm telling my truth. I'm doing my thing. Praise God. You just like your master, old Satan. He's got you.
Amen.
Got you just like that. You're bound up, tied up, can't get loose because you got it in your head that everything's supposed to be your way. Oh, that's how I get pleased is when things go my way. And I get pleased when they all go Yahweh, Jesus. I want Jesus to be pleased with me because if he's pleased with me, everything's going to go my way later on. You understand that? It's going to come out good for me because all I got to do is serve him and love him and be like him. And everything's going to turn out good. I praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. I thought with Sister Betty, at the old first day, I said, Lord, I ain't even got that much to say, and I ain't slacked up yet, folks, and I ain't even close to through. I praise God. But here's what I was telling you about that being like God. How do you do it? What gives you the power to be as your master? What gives you the power to add all that temperance, patience, other things, charity, all the things you need, add it to your faith? How do you do that? How do I achieve it, brother? Here it is. It says this in chapter 8, verse 8, book of Romans. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
Please the devil. You can please the devil because he wants you to serve this. This whole stuff that is said in my Bible, no flesh and blood shall enter the kingdom of God. We got a brand new body waiting for us up there. One that won't grow old, won't get sick, won't die, won't hate, won't feel pain, won't feel a hurt heart, won't feel none of that anymore. Because we got it laid up. If you put, you're in the flesh, you are not pleasing God. Don't fool yourself. Don't go to church and go, amen, amen, praise the Lord, thank you, oh, glory to God. And go home and watch film. Or go home and flip on something that ain't worth nothing. All the cuss words in it and all that. That ought to be shut off. Or you can get on your knees and pray and seek God, seek the face of God, and ask him to rule in your life and to let you be more like
Amen.
Him. Hallelujah, God. Here's what it says. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now here's that big old word. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man, woman, boy, or girl have not the spirit of Christ, he is, she is, they are none of his. Glory to God. If you don't have that spirit, you cannot live godly. If you don't have that leading, guiding spirit, oh, it leads you, it guides you, it teaches you. Yeah, it says in the Bible, in John 14, that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, when he's come, he teaches all things. And then he turns up, bring them to our remembrance when we need them. And as we start to slip, I don't call it making mistakes. We start to make a mistake, Holy Ghost hits us right between the eyes. You say, oh, it's written. It's written this. You can't do that. And you can get your hands off of it and turn away. You don't have to sin every day. You don't have to be evil every day. You can live godly. You can live holy. The Bible said, glory to God, come on unto perfection. Well, why would he say come on to perfection? If you can't achieve it, folks, I've heard him say, no man can live perfect. I'm telling you, you're the liar. Because God said, let God be the truth and all men be a liar. Every man be a liar, but let God be the truth. He said, come on unto a perfect man. In other words, there ain't nothing stopping you. All you got to do is have the Spirit of Christ getting down inside you. And if you'll listen, he'll teach you everything you need to know to please God. He'll teach you how to go into a church. It's such a mood, it's such a way, it's such a spirit that you go through the door and you might go to shouting and praising God. Getting happy when you walk through the door because you know he's there. He'll meet you wherever you go. If you trust him, he'll be there when you get there. Glory to God. I told him Sunday up at church up there. I said, boy, I love it here. I said, because God is here. They said, yes, he is. I said, I know he is. He rode with me. And they got tickled because I'm a cut-up. I love to talk about God. Let me tell you something.
Thank you.
He'll ride with me no matter where I go. He'll go with me wherever I walk and go. If I get down to pray, he meets me there. Glory to God. Does he do you the same way? Because if not, something's missing in you. He's not missing a thing. He's never missed a lick. It's us that are wanting. It's us that need more of him. It's us
Amen.
That need to add these things to our faith. It's us that sits in the pews and can't seem to get up and praise God. It's us that come to church in a bad mood because your wife or your husband kicked you out before you left home. Your kids have done something wrong. You're in a bad mood. And I just couldn't concentrate on God. Boy, you sinful thing. If something's so great that it gets between you and God, It's a sin, folks. Anything that's not of God is a sin. Anything that's not of God is a sin and needs to be put forth out of your life. Or you can't claim the grace of God. You can't claim the salvation of God. You can say, oh, yeah, I've been saved. I'm not saved yet. I'm forgiven. The Bible said, he that endures in it unto the end, the same shall be saved. We're forgiven. Our sins are washed away. But my salvation is if I live it to the end. If I stay true to God, I go. My God, if we stay true, God will stay true to us. If we stay real with God, he'll be the real help we need in time of trouble. Oh, glory. I feel that running down my back. Hallelujah. Because God is the one that's able to keep me and carry me through this down here. I don't have to walk alone. I don't have to face these problems, these things going on my own. Because why? Because I know the one that walks with me. I know the one. Glory to God. Ooh.
Yes,
and I'm behind. I thought about this when I was praying. And I remember when Moses went to that burning bush. He said, well, God, they're going to know who it is that sent me to them. He said, tell them I am sent you. Now, can you imagine what he, as he sat there, go, I am what? I am. You are what? He's everything that you need. He's your mama when you need petting on and docking on. He's your daddy when you need a little discipline in your life, straightening out. That was always daddy's job. Praise God. But he's your doctor when you're sick. Hallelujah. He's the physician that comes and heals you when the doctors can't touch you. Now, praise God. He's the heart fixer. When you got a broken heart, your kids have done something so terrible, something's happened in your life. He fixes that broken heart, folks. He comes in. He can restore you. He can break the chains and the yokes of Satan out of your life and out of your heart and out of your mind and set you free. And the word said, who the Lord has set free, he's free indeed. He don't have to go back into bondage. He don't have to listen to Satan. The Bible said, submit yourselves unto God. Hallelujah. And resist that devil. And he'll have to flee from you. He'll have to let go. And whatever way he's trying to get you, he'll have to get away from you. I want to know that I am is who's inside me. I don't want to know that who I am is who I'm depending on. I want to know that the great I am is who I'm looking for. He's there at a time of trouble. Glory to God. Who? He's not just a redeemer, but he supplies. Glory to God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. That when I'm down and out, I don't know how things are going to get any better. I don't know how I'm going to make it. The Lord provides a way. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing that comes on us that the Lord won't make an escape route for us. Hallelujah, God. You just got to trust him for it. Tonight, ain't it time that you trusted God for your soul, that you trust him for your family, that you trust him, hallelujah, with eternity, that you trust him enough that I want to live godly as my Savior. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to sound like Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Any time that we get back to that throne of mercy. You know, they said when they built the Ark of the Covenant, they had a place where the wings of the cherubims come from each side. In the middle, there was a place called the mercy seat. Friend, I've been there. I've been on that mercy seat. And maybe you need to get there. You can't go to church and praise God and feel like you should. Maybe you need to get back to that mercy seat one more time. Maybe you need to cry out, Lord, I just can't get that joy like everybody else did. Lord, I've never felt the Spirit take over me like it does some people. It just don't come easy to me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, if there's something in my life that don't line up with your word, I want it gone. Help me. Teach me. Show me. Guide me. The Lord said the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. He shows you where to walk and how to walk. People, you just got to cry out. And it's time to not sit there and hold your peace when you know that you're in trouble. It's time for you to say, Lord, please help me. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I ain't got enough. Something's happened to to me. I seem to be slacking back. I'm falling further and further from that joy of feeding you in my soul that I did to start with. God, help me. And you be just like the, it was when the prodigal son came home. The father seen him way off, ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him, said, bring here the best robe he put on. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. He was giving him everything he could because my son was dead to me. And now he's back alive again. He come back home. He come back to Jesus. Friend, he's waiting on you tonight. If you fell away, you don't remember that joy. You ain't felt it so long that when you go to church now, you're just dried up. You're going, but you're not getting much out of it. Friend, it's time for you to come back to your first love. It's time for you to open up to the godliness that he intended for you to live in, for you to walk in, for you to go out and show the world, my God is real. Hallelujah. And I trust him for everything because he is my I am. And it's whatever I need. That's what he is. Glory to God. He's the one that keeps me up in the middle of the night when the world's weight's on my shoulders. He's the one that I've got lost kids that tells me and reminds me, if you're faithful in all that you do, I'll not just save you. I'll save your whole household. Friend, I stand on the promises of God. I might not live to see them come in. But praise God, I trust him that they are coming in. Hallelujah. And you got somebody in your life that you love and care about like that. Glory to God. Ain't it time you get serious about it then? If you love your kids, glory to God. You show them Jesus in how you walk and talk. You show them when you go to church that you're not ashamed to get up and praise God. You want to give a testimony when you go to church. You don't care how many's testified before you. You want to tell them what God did for you. You want to tell them how he makes you feel. Glory to God. When you can get back on fire, God starts using you. Hallelujah. I told this one to several times. Old man, preacher up in Kentucky years and years ago, said he went to a fellow's house and he hadn't been to church in about 3 weeks. He went out to see him, won't know what was wrong. Got over there, that man is sitting there cheering in front of the fire, looking at the fire. Preacher knocked on the door, said, come in. Dude glanced up, said, hello, preacher, get you a seat. Just went back looking at the fire, the preacher sat down there. And he looked over that man glanced at him, he got his attention, he told his hand just like that. He got up, took the tongs, took a log off the fire, set it down in front of the fireplace there, sat back down in his chair. Said he sat there a little while, and that log that he took out of the fire, it just got colder and colder, and the red coal started leaving out of it. And pretty soon it wasn't even smoking no more. And said the preacher looked up at that man. When that man glanced at him, he said, pointed at that log. He reached up and got it. He put it back up on top of the fire. Said, wasn't just a little while, that log was just burning bright again. It lit back up, was burning good. And the preacher looked back at him. He looked over him and said, he said, preacher, that's a pretty good sermon. And I'll be at church Sunday. Because he figured out, if that log does that, don't you do the same thing. When you get away from the fire, friends, you get dead and cold. And you just do like that log, you'll turn black. Ain't nothing good in you. Your light's gone. Praise God. But when you stay in the fire of God, when you stay in church and really get in and be a part of the church, praise God, you can be on fire for God. Because he told them plainly, you get lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Don't be spit out. Don't let him throw you away because he'll have to. He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So if he tells you, if you don't do these things, you can't make it in. You're blind. Blind can't lead to blind. You're both going to wind up in a ditch. That ditch is a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So tonight, as you make your mind up, once and for all, do you want to be the old dead log laying in front of the fire that's just turned black and ain't worth much of nothing no more, that's laying there cold? You want to be one that God's put on the fire where he can say, look at them. Look at that one. You see how on fire they are? That's what I want. That's the ones coming into my kingdom. That's the ones. Hallelujah, God. That's the ones, Jesus said. That's what I said. That's the ones I hung on that cross for. Right there, Father. See what they do. See them catch fire. They're on fire for us. They love us. And glory to God, I didn't die in vain.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what it's about tonight. That's what we preach. That's what we're bringing this home for tonight. Because there's too many people. Their old logs rolled back out of the fire. And it's sitting there, it's getting colder and colder and colder. When all you got to do is say, God, help me. Bring me back up. And he'll pick you up and put you back on fire again for him. Friend, your family needs to see that in your life. Your neighbors need to see that in your life. You need that in your life. You need to live godly before an almighty God that's going to judge us all one day. And you live right now, and you won't worry about judgment later. If you live holy now, you won't worry about being able to see God, because he said holiness without, no man shall see God. I want to be holy. I want to be God. But I'm asking God to give you the same. Praise the Lord. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I know what it's like myself to lay around and get kind of cold on God and let the fire start going out. And sometimes it takes something to wake us up to our need to be in the fire for you, our need to be on fire for you, our need to be holy for you, to be godly in your sight, Lord. Because the Bible said your robe can't have a spot, a wrinkle, or a blemish on you. Or just like that fruit inspector, mm-hmm. you'll find a rotten spot on you, and you'll have to be cast out, friend. I ask you tonight, ask God, Lord, if I've backslid, if I've slowed up, I've backed up any, I ask you, put me back right on top of the fire where the flames get back in me. And I can run this race with patience for you, seeing the good things of God in my life, in my children, my surroundings, my friends, my neighbors. Glory to God. Lord, I ask you if there's some out there that have never known you. Lord, let this touch their hearts tonight. Let them realize that they need this worse than they need air to breathe. Because the air may play out one day, we may all suffocate. But God will never stop. God will never end. And he's there for you right now. And I ask you in Jesus' precious name, Lord, have mercy when they call on you. Lord, have mercy and bring them back in. Bring the lost to you, Father. Touch the sick right now and lift them up, Lord. I ask you to be with the ones right now that's in the nursing homes, the hospitals, the prisons, the jails. Lord, set them free. Free from sickness, free from sorrow, free from the pain that this world brings. And let them enter the joys of the Lord. Let them know it in their life and feel it in their soul. And I ask it all in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to turn it back on Sister Betty for a little while. Maybe Tim come sing some good songs. But if y'all see this, do something for God. Share it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody needs it so bad I can feel it. Because they're that old log tonight that's fell down and got cold. And all they need is God put them back in the fire where they can start burning for him again. So y'all share this out for us. God bless y'all till the next time I get to come. In the name of Jesus. All right, sis.
Praise the Lord. Good word, brother. Thank you for coming on and helping. We're going to get this other caller in here, and then we're going to have Tim to come around and sing a few songs to just keep your mind on the Lord. 706, come on in and tell who you are and where you're at.
The Full Gospel Church, how y'all doing?
Praise the Lord, we're blessed.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have Tim come around and sing a few songs, and then we'll get you to obey the Lord.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And
praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So have we found when Jesus has his rich all here's your only crown. Then there is a thing great worth having glory. Sing about amazing grace.
Because I'm saved.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
We all need a Savior, and there's only one. Send down from heaven, Jesus Christ, God's Son. He paid our sins, and all our freedom. We all need a Savior, and there's only one. We've been watching, we've been seeing, we've been told to follow your heart, be what you want to be. But that's the God in heaven that we want to answer to. And on the day of judgment, what will he say to you? We all need a Savior, and there's only one. He'll come from heaven, Jesus Christ, our Son. He paid our sins and bought our freedom. We all need a Savior, and there's only one. You may feel like you have it all, but your tide is turned and you feel your back is against the wall. You're still searching for something that keeps eluding you. The answer is Jesus. He'll be the light to you. We all need a Savior, and there's only one. He's come from heaven, Jesus Christ, God's Son. He paid our sins and bought our freedom. We all need a Savior, and there's only
Lord is Savior. We just pray that the Spirit of God will draw you tonight and that you'll accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Brother Billy, go ahead and obey the Lord.
Yeah, I want to say I love the Lord and give Him praises and give Him a praise report about my sister, Betty, that was in the coma. They got her out into a room that she's not on no machines or nothing no more. Praise God that her lungs are getting stronger, and they're giving her medication now, infection medicine for her lungs now that they can do that. And that growth that she had is getting a little smaller. They're looking for a nursing home to put her in. But praise God, she's no longer, she can't talk right now. She got that tube in her throat, but she can, I've seen her today on video, her daughter did, and she can hear me talking to her, but she can't talk. She can write, you know, wave and all that, you know. But she's come a long way. God brought her a long way. They was expecting her to die just any time. But, you know, God had had to come a long ways, you know.
Amen.
And I just want to say I love the Lord. You know, I lost my brother about 3 weeks ago, and we're pretty close to a month now, but I don't understand about that. Some things that God has got up for us, you know, but this God's plan, and we have to accept it, you know. If we want to please God, we got to understand Him, and we got to understand what He's expecting of us. You say, well, what? Why does he want to expect something out of me? Because, hey, did anybody else die for you on the cross? Did anybody else speak to the ground and say, hey, let us make man in our image? Did anybody else say, hey, I'm going to send my only begotten son to down there and to set you set these people free, heal the sick, open blinded eyes. How many else can say they did that? But you know why he did that? And but you know, Brother Willie, you was talking about the other day. You know, we might have mentioned it too. But why did Jesus get baptized? You know, you ever thought about it? We, you know, it's nice to think us about stuff like that. There was no sin in him. They didn't do no sin. Well, the Bible says, be ye baptized for the remission of your sins. But Jesus had no sin. But there was a lot of people, I think, that couldn't understand what he was getting to them. But praise God, he has to show people. He has to show people what needs to be done, you know. He said, you know, he come into this world preaching and teaching and healing and showing us what we got to be doing. If we want to make it, because one of these days, you know, Sister Betty, they're going to be an earthquake and they're going to be a rapture take place, and some of them going to be left behind, praise God, and they're going to be wondering, well, Lord, I thought my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, praise God, but did you separate yourself? Did you separate yourself from the world? Or did you try to still have Jesus in the world, praise God? Yeah, Jesus is here, but praise God, he said, you will not serve, you cannot serve two masters. Either you love one and hate the other, or you love the other and hate the one, praise God. But he said, choose you this day. He loved us enough to give us such opportunity. And he said, choose you this day whom you serve. You going to serve the Lord or serve mammon, praise God. He loved us enough to give us a choice. Just like sometimes we do our kids. Sometimes, you know, we get our kids, they grown up, and then they want to go to drive in the car and want to go do this, and it causes an argument. And sometimes they say some things to you that just tears your heart out, you know. They get mad at you and tell you things that just ripped your heart right out of your chest. But, you know, just imagine if you'll stop and think about Jesus, praise God. We're doing that to him sometimes. Praise God.
Right.
We do that to him. We rip his heart right out. And we put him right back up on the cross, praise God. Why? Because he said he come to set us free. Why do we despise him? Why do we want to take him off the walls, the commandments? Why do we want to take him out of buildings? And how come we don't want to mention him in the, and you know, the Pledge of Allegiance flag? Why do we want to mention that? Because it's out of sight, out of mind what it is. If they can't see it, it don't keep bringing it up to their mind. But I'm telling you today, you know, if we want to see God, number 11, Titus 11 says, 2 and 11 says, well, the grace of God brings salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. They say, you can't do this. You can't live perfect in this world because there's so much going on. People hate you. People just don't leave you alone. They steal from you. And they come at you in every different ways, and you can't. And they make fun of you because you go to church. Well, you know, praise God, then they'll wonder why. Why, you know, then some of them say, Lord, I done took all I can get. Lord, I'll pick you up later. I got two jobs now, and I got to work. And so, you know, Lord, Lord says, hey, come out from amongst them and be you a separated people. Show them. People just tell them that you got saved, or tell them, somebody says, tell me what it's like. Tell me what it's like. Tell me what it feels like. And you can't do it. You can't do it because each and every one of us it, the Lord shows up to us in different ways, you know. Praise God. But when he does, though, and if you open your heart, I guarantee you, you'll not forget that, praise God.
Amen.
But we got to hold on to what we got, though. This world is corrupt. This world is hard sometimes. This world don't care if you starve to death. This world don't care what you do or have you try to build up your life and build up yourself a little bit to have a little peace on earth when you get all your bills paid for, because no, that ain't what they don't like, that, praise God. And then you know one thing about it, though, when we get the Lord in our lives, praise God, we can release, because he said, cast your burdens up on me, for my load is light, your light. And, but you know, some people don't want to listen to that. They have to slow down and stop and think, you know, Sister Betty, that all they got to do is call on the Lord. After you one time know the Lord, you know what he can do. And yes, it ain't too late for nobody, because that's why would he put in there, praise God, the particle sun, you know. We've got an opportunity, but let's don't wait to that last day. You know, there's a song that I try to sing someday. If this was the last altar call, where would you run to?
There you go.
This is the last altar call, praise God, the whole world would be on their knees, forgiveness, because they wasn't strong enough to stand for Jesus. But there's going to be nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. But we can. I always said I was a 20-something, little 20-year-old when I come to the Lord, and I always said, Lord, if I felt this good years ago, I would have come in sooner, praise God.
Amen.
In men's eyes, we're not going to be perfect, but we're not here to please them, praise God. We're here to praise the one that died for us. We're the one here that stood, that hung up on the cross and took the thorns. Praise God. Can we do it for someone else here? And like Abraham and Isaac, he needed the lamb sacrifice. The Lord told him to go up on the mountain and take Isaac. Praise God. But guess what? Abraham trusted God.
Yes.
Abraham knowed God. Abraham knowed when God told him to do something, but he didn't have to fear because God had done promised him that all his seed would prosper. But guess what? We are Abraham's seed, praise God. His promise went down from generation to generation. And people said, I wonder where I come from sometime, but let me tell you, you come from Abraham's seed, praise God. Or you come from Lot, see, but Lot didn't choose the right path, praise God. But one thing about it, when the Lord touches your heart, you listen to him. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be here in the other. You don't have to give nothing up. But praise God, when he speaks to you, just talk to him, praise God. And you know, God will always listen, and he will always give you a sign. And he will always take care of you, praise God. And I'm going to go over here to Luke. What did I get that to? Hold on just a minute here. Off my place, but hold on. I'll get it here in a minute. Praise Lord. You know, but when we need the Lord right there, praise God. That's where he's always at. I'm going to go to Luke 3:6. St. Luke 3:6. Thought I had it marked there. Luke 3:6. Okay, here it is. They said, verily, verily, shall be, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be shall be brought low, and the creeks shall be moved, made strength, and the brought away shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generations of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Flee from the wrath to come, and bring forth therefore fruit. Now, this is Brother Miles talking about the fruit. It's to bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and bring not to say within thyself, we have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these of the stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That's what it's telling you. You know, you say to bring forth fruit. You know, Brother Miles, we had a gentleman that come to our church for years, and every time he talked to someone about, trying to talk to them about something going on in their life, and they'll say, you judging me. You know, he'll tell them, he said, I'm not judging you, but the Lord made me a fruit inspector. He said, The Lord said, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. And if a tree ain't bearing nothing, it needs to be cut down. But if a tree is bearing, praise God, that's good. But, you know an apple tree when you see one. Can't deny that. You know a pear tree when you see one. Can't deny that. Praise God. I worked with this guy one time a few years back, and he ordered him a banana tree, a little bitty thing, and every year he'd set out in the ground. And then wintertime, he'd have to bring it back in because he was a banana tree, praise God, and he did it for about 4 or 5 years. Well, he went on vacation, and while he was gone, his banana tree bloomed out, and it turned out to be an apple tree. The whole time, he thought it was a banana tree. I told him, don't you know the difference between a banana tree and an apple tree? He said, I do now, praise God. He said, I do now, he said, but, you know, that's exactly what the world is doing today, you know, Brother Miles and Sister Betty. They want to find the Lord somewhere else. They want to find the Lord to say, hey, sit down here, praise God, and come on in. It's all right to doing what you're doing. Just come on in here. That's all right to bring it, but, you know, just come on in here. On into this house, you know. You can sit down here and just, it'll be all right what you're doing. And some of them don't even preach repentance no more. Some of them don't even tell them that, the Ten Commandments took them off the church walls even. And some pastors even tears the Bible up in church, but they got their day of coming. They bragging about it now, no doubt. But one day they're going to face the Master, Lord, praise God. Amen. And they're going to say, hey, what happened to my book? Why did you tear my Bible up, Lord? And the Lord, he said, you called me a liar. You said there was everything in there was a lie. He said, he's going to tell them, say, depart from me, you iniquities of sin, and be you cast into a lake of fire. But that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. In Revelation 22, it says, if any man adds to this book, or if any man takes away, and these people that does away with the King James Version and puts this other stuff in there to where the devil can understand it, they'll have blood on their hand because the world can understand it, praise God. Somebody's going to have to pay every little thing we do, praise God. It's going to have to be paid for down the road or somewhere else. And what I would like to, you know, I'd like to think, I'm glad Jesus paid the blood for me, praise God.
Amen.
One of these days, I like to see him, praise God, and know that, hey, you know, and hear him say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight. You run your race, praise. You done good for me. And here's your crown of life, praise God. That's what I want to hear one day. I'm not beating up on nobody, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord's laid on my heart. If you want to see that, and if you want to see your mama, if you want to see your daddy, it's going on. Praise God. You know, get your old family Bible out. Look where Grandma and Grandpa put messages down in there and wrote down in it and marked the best messages and things in the scriptures, you know. Then if that don't move your heart, praise God, just go to dwelling on the good things that God has and just talk to him, praise God, and he will answer your call. He will talk to you. And just
I was
talking about a while ago, the parents, if the parents will stop and think, or the children stop and think, well, I shouldn't have said that, but, you know, but God has got millions and millions and millions of children that breaks his heart every day.
Yes, he does.
They say, well, I can't be mean, but it's hard on God. He left for his children not to be fighting. It hurts his heart when war breaks out because nobody wins from that. And you know, he hates it when this world is turning around and upside down. He don't like that because somebody got in there and messed his plan up. But I'm here to tell you, though, but God, he loves each and every one of us, praise God.
Yes, he does.
And he's the only one. He was the only one Jesus did. He said, I'll go down. You know, there's a song said that, he looked around and said, who can I send? And his only begotten son said, I'll go down. Praise God, I'll go down and I'll show him what it is. And he become as humble as a baby. That's one thing. That's one thing that you got to look at. He come in this world as humble as a little baby. And when he left this world, he went out of this world like a lamb. Didn't open his mouth or nothing but say, Father, forgive them. He still loved them, even the ones that crucified him. He still loved the ones that drove the nail scars of put them the scars in his hand, praise God, and he still loved them, but didn't complain one time about it hurts. Didn't complain when somebody for to give him a rag to wipe the blood out of his eyes. Didn't give him nothing, praise God, but he didn't ask for nothing. And he carried the whole world upon his shoulder, praise God. Can anybody else do that for their brother? Can anybody else do that for the whole family? Can anybody else do that for a neighbor that you love so much or a kinfolk or a cousin or mama or daddy? No, you wouldn't do it. You sure wouldn't do it because you say that would hurt too much. But let me tell you, that didn't break his heart. That didn't bother him at all, Lord, praise God. He said the only thing he could not save was one upper addiction. He could not. He said, I've kept all of them, Father, that you give me, except one, the one of the son of perdition, and that was Judas, praise God. And you know, that probably broke his heart more than anything, stripes he done, more than anything, because he don't want to lose none of his children.
That's right.
But we got to all love one another. If we show love, as you were preaching a while ago, Brother Miles, I was thinking, hey, let's do something. Let's stir up heaven, you know, praise God. Let's wake the angels up. They're probably doing it anyway, but hey, the angels in heaven will rejoice over one soul getting saved.
Amen.
And praise God, if you want to shake heaven up, the word of blessings will come down. And I tell you another thing right now, I know Mother's Day is coming up soon. And if you love your mama, and you truly say you love your mama, and take her to church with you or go with her and sit beside of her and hold her hand, no doubt, and praise the Lord one day. The person, 'cause one day your mama ain't going to be able to go there and sit there and listen to your mama. When she mama is gone, who's going to pray for us? Who's going to pray for her children? I mean, you may be 60-year-old, but you're still your mama's baby.
That's right.
And so who's going to pray for us when all them's gone? If we don't know God, who's going to point us in the right direction? If we don't listen to our parents, or mom and dad, or grandpa and grandma, if we don't nobody listen to them, who's going to point us in the right direction? It's like when Abraham died, when Abraham died, the dog licked his wound, and his who's in the arms, who's on Abraham bosom. Elijah died, and he ended up in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man said, "Lord, send him back to talk to my brothers." He said, "Hey," and the Lord said, "If they don't hear one from that's alive, they sure ain't going to hear from one that's dead." That means you can't listen to them again after they're dead. You can't go back and, hey, come back by here, let's talk about this some more. But no, it don't work that way. Sometimes the Lord only gives you one word, and you got to heed to that one word. And you've got to know when it's God talking to you. And when somebody gives me a word, and I can feel it because they said my spirit will bear witness one to another. And when somebody tries to give me a word and tell me I need to go here and do this and go here and do that, hey, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going, praise God. But that's what the scripture says, But anybody that wants to, the Lord Jesus' life to say, "Come on, Lord, I don't want to go home by myself. Are you going to come and go with me?" Praise God. If he can, I know for a fact the scripture says we all have angels camped around us. Yep. And when my brother passed away, well, they turned the machine off. He didn't want to live like that. And he said, I try to talk to him all day. So change your mind, this road that you're fixing to go down is no return. And he just smiled and said, "Me and Jesus got it all worked out. I'm tired of this, and I don't want to live on these machines." I said, "Well, you don't have to live forever. They're going to find you a kidney." And the doctor said, "Well, he's on the right track now, but he had about 6 or 8 machines pumping medication into his heart to keep it going." And he said, Turn them off. He said, "But me and Jesus got it all worked out."
Amen.
And he didn't. He laid there and took his last breath with a smile on his face. I shouldn't have looked at him watched him do that, because it still bothered me a little bit. I don't understand everything about it. But, one of these days I'm going to have to, we're going to straighten him out again one of these days. But I got loved ones. I got more to go to heaven for today than I did yesterday. Yesterday's gone, praise God. Yesterday we can't take back. Yesterday we can't go back and redo what we've done. Yesterday is gone. It is gone. And we got to look forward to tomorrow. Today is just about over with. The day is coming now. It's coming dark. There's a dark cloud arising, praise God. And where you going to be left at? You going to be left in the dark? Or you going to say, "Lord, will you light up my life?" Praise God. He said, I am the light of the world, praise God. And we got to know one thing. I guarantee you, if you try Jesus Christ and honestly and sincerely and talk to him and let him come into your life, you'll not turn back to know some tomorrow. You'll never go back to where you was at. You'll never go back to doing the things you're doing. And you don't have to give them up. Praise God. The craving is gone. You don't want them no more. Praise God. And yeah, you may go back and try to tell friends and things that I did at work that they said, oh, you're a Christian now, you're a Bible thumper. That ain't going to last long knowing you, but guess what? That was 20-something years ago. That was 20-something years ago, and you know what I'm saying? They just, and you know, when you used to drink on the job, and I'm going to tell you this right quick, when we got through the bottle, we always had it in a different place so nobody could find it, the boss, the thing. So I was the last one that swigged out of it, and I hit it. Well, when I got right, I got back at Monday. It was over Thanksgiving weekend, and they said, where's it at? And I didn't want to tell them. They said, oh, you think you can go right now? He said, tell us where it's at right now. And I said, it ain't going to do you no good. And they got mad at me on that moonshine. I said, well, I finally told them about the end of the day where I hit it at. And then they come back up and jumped on me again and said, hey, that ain't moonshine, that's water in there. And praise God, the Lord turned that moonshine back into water. I was saying, they know that I didn't want to tell them where it's at. But, you know, some things you got to do to let people see. But guess what? There was two of them that worked next to me that got saved that very same day, praise God. Everybody that drank out of that bottle, as they say, huh? He poured it out before he left here and filled it full of water. I said, no, I think the Lord turned the wine back into water. Praise God. But, you know, it's the little things that you do for Jesus in the public's eyes. They make you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to put thorns in your head. They got to take you, make you drink poison and everything to get you away from the God. They'll say, hey, you deny God, or we will cut your head off. But, you know, it'll be like John the Baptist. They couldn't shut him up until they cut his head off. But who would do that today, you know? Who would say, oh, Lord, but chances are if they come that close to putting a sword or something to you now, they're going to do it anyway. So, you know, it'd be a short trip to glory, but that's something else to think about, too. And if people just got lost and ain't got nothing to do and sit around and worry about their bills, worrying about this and worrying about their children, worrying about their loved ones that's in the hospital and comas and stuff, if you'll go there, if you'll guarantee you, if you'll start meditating on the Lord, he'll lift them burdens and he'll perform a miracle, praise God. That's because we got to trust him.
Amen.
We got to trust him wholehearted. And we got to put a little faith, a little work into it. We got to pray. We got to fast and pray. Because he said faith without works is dead. And sometimes we're tested in this life, praise God, to see who we're going to stand at. We're tested of whether we can go another mile, or we're going to be tested if we're going to try to go back to yesterday. And there's no roadmap going back to yesterday. There's only one roadmap, and it's straight and goes to heaven, praise God. And that's the one I'm looking for. I don't want to have no red lights. And, you know, down here we drive through traffic and seem like every red light stops you. But that's what's happening to your spiritual life. You got stumbling blocks that tries to provoke you into getting routed and getting mad. But you know one thing about it, if we keep looking straight and trusting God, we can take them stumbling blocks and make stepping stones out of them, praise God.
Amen.
And we don't have to worry about it, because Isaiah, I believe it is, 53, who had blew our report. Psalms 23. Who is, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He maketh to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth our soul. You know, I'm not looking at it, but you know one thing about it, there at the very end of it, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Amen.
And I shall dwell in the house of God. And that's why some of us is getting hit from the back. Some of us are getting hit on all sides because we're not dwelling in the house of God. So therefore, short of goodness and mercy, has left this world, you know, just about it. Short of goodness and mercy has left it because they don't, you know, God ain't going to keep fooling with some people. But he is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a God that's right there 24/7, 8 days a week. And you say, how can that be? Well, that 8 day covers it. There ain't no day for, there ain't no lapse for nothing. You know, do you, you know, there's a song out there, do you live for the devil to, do you go to church every now and then, live for the Lord one and the devil ten? And they, you know, they need to make their mind up, but hey, it ain't never too late. Just give in to the Lord. Open your Bible. Open your heart so he can talk to you. And I guarantee you, if he touches your heart, you'll wake up in a brand new world. Praise God. Your attitude will change. You'll be different to your children. And you can teach your children what God has, and everybody will be happy, praise God. And the angels will rejoice. So, you know, it goes right down the chain, you know. He don't got respect to person. He don't care what color you are. He don't care if you're black and white married together with one another. But, you know, he said, but some people won't tell them that. Some people will shun you if you're different color or something like that, you know. But the Lord said, hey, coming to me, he said, hey. But, you know, we gotta keep to ourselves going sometimes. It gets rough, I know. But praise God, I can call on God. I said, Lord, I need a little help here, Lord. Lord, open up the vault, Lord of miracles, because I need one or two of them, praise God. Lord, open up the vault of understanding, Lord. Open up the vault of mercy, Lord. And you know, that's eventually, you know, you'll open your eyes up and you see miracles right in front of your eyes. That's what happened to my wife when she was in the hospital. They give her a little bit of change. They had to take out most of her colon. But guess what? The doctor come in there the next day, and she surprised the doctor. And he said, for somebody that's not been to the doctor 35 years, is healing quick. He said, I ain't never seen this. He said, well, you told me there wasn't nothing there. And she said, yeah. He said, well, you're right. Them other spots are gone too. So praise God. Praise God. You know, that's a testimony right there. And I was there. And when I took her to the doctor's office, he called all the nurses in there. And he said, this here, that little lady that said there's nothing wrong with her. He said, but I had to take out most of them, her colon, because they was no good. It stopped up. And he said, but for them other things, he said, she said there was nothing there. And he told all them nurses, said, she's got faith. I have never seen it before like that. And he said, as you keep on trusting God, she said, I don't have to need nobody to tell me that. I've been serving the Lord 45 years. He said, well, praise God. That's a miracle right there in front of my eyes, you know. That's a miracle because I had never seen like that. Well, after surgery, like it, staples in her belly, she got up and walked into the bathroom. Nurse coming there, where's she at? I said, in there. Did you let her walk? I said, about 40 years, and I can't stop her. Ain't no need stopping her now. I said, I can't stop her for 40 years now. I don't think I can start right now. But all of them took notice of how she got healed, and she went through the surgery, praise God. But guess what? She still ain't going to the doctors no more. She's still trusting her Lord, you know, praise God. But that's what we got to do. If we want Jesus to love us, we got to show him love.
Amen.
We got to let the world know and see the Lord in me. Well, there is a song out there. It's a, let's see, what was it going to I can't think of it right now. Lord have mercy. But it said, my body is the temple of the Lord, and I was born to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good song there. Somebody will look it up. It was, I was born to serve the Lord, and we're made in his image, praise God.
Yeah.
Created, praise God. But anyway, Sister Betty, I'm gonna about to run out of anything to say there, but these are the scriptures on here that you're talking about, we are. And if you just look them up and praise God, you know, if you read something in the Bible and it bothers you, praise God, don't give up, because if it bothers you, you need to investigate it just a little bit more. And
sure.
If you see a banana, if you see an apple tree, banana tree with an apple on it, well, you know, you need to investigate that a little bit more. And some people said, hey, you judging me? No, we're not judges. We, like Brother Miles said, we fruit inspectors.
Amen.
We know a tree by the fruit it bears. And I thank the Lord, and I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Betty, and say I love the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thanks for coming on and helping us. We're going to have Tim come around and sing a couple songs, and then we're going to take some prayer requests. And for
praise
the ones
the
on Facebook, go ahead and put your prayer request in the comments, and we'll pray over them here in a few minutes. And your praise reports also.
I've come too far to look back again. There's nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love have all faded from you. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over, for I left it at Calvary, where my new life began. Oh,
Or praise reports, go ahead and put them in the comments and we'll pray over them and we'll read them there. And Brother Miles, do you have any prayer requests?
Just ask the Lord to keep watching after Mother and me and remember my lost children and remember this country, this nation. Seems like it goes further and further into darkness every day, but you know, people, there's still a light and all you got to do is turn it on. The light's name is Jesus, and it'll shine through all this darkness and give us a way we can see where we're going and a way to know how we can get there. And I just pray the world wakes up to how bad we need him right now.
Amen. Well, we have quite a few here that are asking for prayer. A little 5-year-old boy named Jonathan. He's having congestive heart failure, and his bowels are leaking, so he's swelling up, and he needs a miracle. He's up in Ohio. So just remember that family. Remember little Jonathan. We know that God's able to perform miracles. We've seen too many things happen not to believe it. And remember our pastor, Don Harris. He's congested tonight and needing God's touch, so remember him. Kiara Parks needs a miracle. Remember my cousin, Patricia Harden-Ball. She's having total knee replacement in the morning. And my brother, Bill, will be having heart surgery tomorrow, so remember him. And remember my brother, Larry, in your prayers. Remember Sister Willa Dean, that God will just touch her and meet all of her needs. And remember Willie and Lily in Full Gospel, Burnoutville Gospel Church, and all of Willie's family members over there in Mexico that need salvation. Remember Betty, to continue to pray for her. We thank God for the miracle that he has given her. And Billy's other sister, Shirley, is needing a miracle in her body. She has cancer. Pray for my niece, Brenda Moses, that's in UT Hospital, and they gave her the strong dose of chemo before they gave her the stem cell transplant, and the chemo's made her pretty sick, so remember her and all of her family, and remember all the people in the hospitals, the nursing homes, the jail, and remember all the people that still have COVID. I've been seeing several of them that still have COVID, and just ask God to touch them. The man, Tracy Dart, that wrote God on the Mountain has passed away this morning, so remember his family in prayers. And continue praying for my right knee. The Lord's touching it. I can tell that he's touching it, so just continued prayers for me. I just thank God for what he's doing. For the past couple months, I've been having to use the walker a lot because my knees wore out and it needs to be replaced, and I'm just trusting and believing God that he's going to touch it and heal it, because my left knee was pretty bad here sometime back and couldn't hardly walk on it, and now I can bend it and it moves, and so I'm just trusting God to do a work on this right one here. Donna Raines is having breast surgery Friday, so remember her. Alan and Angela Flowers are in need of prayer. Alan got out of the hospital yesterday after being down in Atlanta for a while, so continued prayers for him. He's needing a miracle. he's got cancer and he's got infection in his body, so they was just going to send him home, and they was going to bring nurses and stuff in with like IVs to give him the medicine through. So remember him and remember his wife. Jonathan Roberts has requested prayer for his mother who is in the hospital. Remember the Barnhart family. They lost a family member yesterday. Tina Hazel Baker is in need of healing. Jaden needs prayer. He's passed 5 kidney stones already. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's kind of handicapped anyways, and just continue to pray for him. There's a little boy with autism down here in Cleveland that is sick and needs prayer. Remember him. His name's Ben. And remember Bobby. Continued prayers for Bobby. He was in a motorcycle wreck, and they took the feeding tube and the ventilator off of him. And so just remember praying for him that God will continue to touch his body. Remember Patty. She's going to have knee surgery. Well, she had knee surgery yesterday, and she's needing prayer. Wally Brewer has diabetes, and they took a piece of bone out of his foot, and this is the second foot, second one that they've done. And they said pray for his health and his spiritual well-being and his finances, because he's not able to work right now. And Dustin Dickery needs a miracle in his organs. They're trying to shut down on him. Isaiah Baker said to pray that he lost his grandpa and pray for his family. And pray for Pastor Luther Russell. He's got COVID, needing prayers. And there's many, many more, but God knows all about them. We've got about 2 minutes, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for Shell Creek Full Gospel Tabernacle and God's house down in Cleveland. God's doing a work in both of the churches, and we just thank God for it and just pray for all the people down there. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Miles. Pray for the needs.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray like you said in the Holy Ghost. As we reach in our hearts, Lord, ask you to touch each one. Father,
we pray for all these needs,
and Lord, I know each one is showing this need. But Father, I ask you to take care of me right now. For that little 5-year-old, Father. Lord God, the doctor can't do that for me, but I know you can. I know you're able. And Lord, I know you're able to fix all these broken things. Father, the ones you can't, the ones your God would cope with. There's nothing that's too big for God. And Lord, we know and trust you that whatsoever we bring, God, you said if we come to undoubt that you would do it. Father, I don't doubt that you're going to touch them all. Father, I believe you can move on to the baby's leg. And you do that knee surgery, God, that needs done in her. And Father God, I ask you to move on Brother Don. Lord, to strengthen him to take that congestion out of his chest, Father. Dear God, I ask you to move Brother Billy, his family, Father, his sisters in the hospital, God, the others. Lord, if you're moving their hearts and their minds, in their lives, touch their bodies, lift them up and make them well, Father. Hey, dear God, that you move on this nation. God, a nation that is going further and further into darkness. That God turn the lights back on, I pray. I ask you to move in the hearts of the lost. Move in the hearts of those, Lord, that have fell back on you and backslid. Father, I ask you that you just bring them back to you. Lord, bring them up and give them that salvation that the whole world knows about. They know about the grace of God. They know it. And God, I ask you to receive it gladly and with reverence in their sins to you, Father. Ask, dear God, you keep me and my mother in your loving hands, Father. Dear God, I ask you, as I come up to center scene next week, God, you watch over me, protect me, give me travel to heaven mercy. Go up that road. And God, I'm going to go and do something for you. God,
going in.
He goes in for that surgery, bring him through the other side better than he was when he started, Father. God, take that condition away from him. look on her knees, God, and touch her, Father, in the name of Jesus. We glorify and magnify your name because we know that you're more than able.
The people out there on Facebook, each and every need, each and every problem that people are going through with, God, we praise you and thank you, God, that you're going to touch in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've seen that we don't have to air, so we're going to say goodnight and God bless, and we love y'all, and we'll see you next week from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. USA Eastern Standard Time, and so we're just going to say goodnight. God bless.
Good night. God bless. Love all of you.
We love everybody out there. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks.